Okay, so picture this. You're in New Zealand grabbing some late night snacks at the supermarket, and suddenly, chaos. The payment systems are down.
I
And
know.
not because of, a local outage or anything, but because of a software glitch happening, like halfway across the world. It's this CrowdStrike outage we're diving into today.
Right.
Really throws a wrench into the everything is fine mentality, huh?
It is fascinating how this seemingly contained digital event can, like, spill over into the real world.
Yeah.
We often think about cybersecurity in these abstract terms, but this CrowdStrike situation had, like, a real tangible impact on people's lives.
Totally. And we're not even just talking about a few inconveniences, right? I mean, the New Zealand acting prime minister had to address the nation, reassure everybody that things were, under control. This wasn't just a tech issue. This was like a national concern. And all because of a faulty software update.
And to be clear, right, this wasn't some sophisticated cyber attack or anything like that. It was a faulty software update to CrowdStrike's Falcon sensor.
Okay.
CrowdStrike, they're like a major player in the cybersecurity world, right? Providing protection for, I mean, countless organizations globally. Their software is like the immune system for a network, constantly on the lookout for threats.
So what happened? Did somebody forget to like carry the one in their code and the whole system just went haywire?
Well, I mean, it wasn't quite that simple, but you're not far off of the haywire part. So CrowdStrike, they regularly send out what they call channel files. Think of them as mini updates, like sending new intel to your security guards multiple times a day so they stay ahead of the bad guys. But in this case, the intel had, well, a critical error. A bit like telling all the guards to stop anyone wearing, like, blue shirts, only to realize later that all the good guys are wearing blue shirts that day.
Oh no, okay, so a coding mistake. Got it. But what exactly was the problem with this particular update? It sounds like it did the opposite of what it was supposed to.
Exactly. The update was meant to target something called named pipes, which are basically like communication channels within a computer system.
Okay.
Imagine them as internal phone lines.
Gotcha.
The update was designed to monitor these lines for any suspicious activity, but the faulty code ended up shutting the whole system down instead.
So even though CrowdStrike was trying to strengthen security, this error actually left systems more vulnerable.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's ironic. What happened next? It really shows how even what seems like a tiny coding error can have like huge consequences. But the story doesn't end there, does it? What happened after this update went out?
Chaos.
Oh, no.
Basically, systems crashed worldwide.
No.
And not just any systems. We're talking airlines, healthcare providers, like critical infrastructure. Remember that New Zealand supermarket from before? This wasn't like a localized thing. It was global disruption.
Wow, a real digital domino effect. So CrowdStrike must have been scrambling to like fix this, right? What was their response like?
Well, to their credit, they acted really quickly. They identified the faulty update, they pulled it offline, and issued what they call remediation guidance to their customers. Think of it as like a digital first aid kit. Instructions for how to get their systems back up and running.
Okay, so damage control. But you said there was more to the story. So what happened in the aftermath, like after the outage itself?
So this is where it gets, I think, really interesting from like a human psychology perspective, right?
Oh, okay.
Imagine the scene. Your systems are down. You're in a panic. You're desperately seeking information. You're much more likely to, let your guard down a little,
Right.
click a link you wouldn't normally click, trust a source that you might otherwise question.
So you're saying that this outage basically created like the perfect breeding ground for scammers.
Precisely.
Oh, man.
CrowdStrike, actually, they even reported a surge in phishing emails that were pretended to be from their support team,
Oh, wow.
promising these quick fixes or asking for login details, right? They were like vultures circling a digital desert, just preying on people's like fear and uncertainty. And here's the kicker, right? CrowdStrike shared examples of these like fake websites, and they were so convincing.
Oh
It
no.
highlights how sophisticated these scammers have become.
So not only were people dealing with the initial like fallout from all this, but then they had to also be extra careful about getting like tricked online, adding insult to injury. It sounds really unsettling. So what can people actually do to protect themselves, especially like after an event like this happens?
I mean, the most crucial advice is so simple, and yet so many people overlook it,
What's
Be skeptical. Don't just click on links and emails, even if they look totally legit. Go directly to the company's website or contact their support through official channels.
Yeah, it's like saying trust but verify.
Exactly.
Aye.
And also just be wary of anyone that's like offering these quick fixes or these easy solutions, right? Cybersecurity is complex. There's rarely a like one size fits all solution out there. So if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
So trust your gut, be cautious, and verify everything.
Pretty much.
This CrowdStrike outage feels like a real wake-up call, honestly, about the state of cybersecurity today.
Yeah, it highlights that interconnected nature of, like, our digital world.
Yeah.
And how a single point of failure can have these, like, global ramifications, right?
Yeah.
And it brings up this, like, I think, crucial question. How do we balance this need for rapid innovation with security in a world that's becoming more and more reliant on technology?
That's a great question. I mean, on the one hand, you want companies like CrowdStrike to stay, you know, ahead of the bad guys, which often means pushing out updates really quickly. But as we've seen, even the smallest error can have these huge consequences. So where do we draw the line?
It is a delicate balancing act.
Mm.
But, you know, this incident also highlights like how important it is for organizations to have robust incident response plans in place. It's not enough to just have the best security tools. You need to know what to do when those tools fail, because they will at some point.
So it's like having a fire drill, but for your digital infrastructure.
Yeah.
You hope you never have to use it, but you've got to be prepared. So what does a good incident response plan look like in the real world? It's like they say, hope for the best, prepare for the worst, right?
Yeah.
Especially in the digital world. So if you're like an organization, what does it actually mean to be prepared for something like this?
Well, a robust incident response plan, I mean, it needs to cover a lot of ground, right?
Right.
First and foremost, you need to know what's like mission critical for your operations.
Okay.
Like what systems, if they went down, would bring everything to a grinding halt?
So identifying your weak points. The systems you really can't afford to have go offline.
Precisely. And once you know what those critical assets are, then you need a plan to protect them. This includes things like data backups, redundant systems, you know, alternative communication channels in case your primary ones go down.
It sounds like a lot of what-if scenarios, but
yeah.
I guess that's the point, right? You're trying to anticipate the unexpected.
Exactly. And it's not enough to just, like, have this plan written down somewhere, right?
Right.
You got to test it regularly.
Oh, okay.
Make sure everyone knows their roles and keep it updated. As technologies change, as threats evolve.
Right, right.
And you know, this actually ties in nicely with something we touched on earlier, the Center for Internet Security Controls, or CIS controls.
Ah, yes. Those like best practices for organizations to kind of up their cybersecurity game. What's the connection here?
Well, version 8.1 of the CIS controls, which just came out, puts a huge emphasis on documentation and governance, particularly regarding incident response. It's not enough to just say, oh yeah, we're doing these things. You need like clear written proof.
So it's like having a fire drill logbook.
Okay, exactly.
You need the evidence you've been practicing for these emergencies, not just assuming that you're prepared.
And that kind of documentation, it's like essential for demonstrating compliance, not to mention helping your team actually respond effectively if, you know, a real incident happens. It's about creating this culture of like security awareness at all levels of an organization, from the CEO all the way down to like the newest intern.
This CrowdStrike situation has been really interesting because it's kind of revealed a lot about like the state of cybersecurity in a way. I mean, you have these incredible sophisticated tools designed to protect us, but then one little error and everything can come crashing down. It makes you wonder, like, what does this mean for CrowdStrike going forward? Is this going to damage their reputation?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, look, they messed up. There's no way around that. And this outage had, like, you know, real-world consequences. It impacted businesses. It impacted people's lives. But I think it's also about how they responded.
Yeah.
And I have to say, they were relatively transparent throughout this whole process.
Okay.
They quickly owned up to the mistake. They provided really clear and consistent updates, and they offered really detailed remediation guidance to their customers.
So taking responsibility, focusing on solutions, not just trying to like, you know, downplay the situation.
Exactly. And okay. I think that approach honestly goes a long way in mitigating any reputational damage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether there will be long-term consequences, well, I guess that remains to be seen.
Right.
But this incident, it definitely serves as a stark reminder, you know,
mm-hmm.
No technology is foolproof, even from a company whose entire business is about stopping these things from happening.
Yeah, it's a good reality check for everybody involved. So as we kind of reach the end of our deep dive here, What are the key takeaways you want our listeners to like walk away with?
Well, I think, cybersecurity, it's a journey. It's not a destination, right?
Right.
As we become more reliant on these like really interconnected systems, the potential points of failure, they just multiply. So we need to kind of evolve our thinking about security. It's not just about having the best tools. It's also about having the right processes in place when those tools fail, because they inevitably will at some point.
It's about being proactive, not reactive, and always, always be prepared for the unexpected. Well said. This has been a fascinating, albeit slightly unsettling, deep dive into the world of cybersecurity. We went from what seemed like a simple software glitch to like a global outage with some pretty far-reaching consequences. And we even touched upon that human element, right? That fear, that uncertainty that often follows these events.
Yeah, I mean, it really highlights how important it is to stay informed, be vigilant, and, just have a healthy dose of skepticism, especially when you're online.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. A huge thank you to our expert for guiding us through this really complex issue. And to our listeners, we hope you found this deep dive insightful and empowering. Until next time, stay safe out there.